1 Peter chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Together in verse 21. Ready? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now we read quite a bit because I wanted you to see the context of what we're talking about. He's talking about living right, doing right, and suffering because of it. The whole context is this: do right and put up the suffering that comes with it. Now, if you're doing wrong, well, duh, yeah, there's suffering. But do right and endure the suffering. And so now we're talking this morning about the reason for strength. Why should we have this desire, this dedication to grow in our spiritual life? The reason for strength. Let's pray. Get right into the message. Father, I pray now that you'd help me. You know I try to prepare myself personally, spiritually. I try to prepare myself physically as far as having an outline and color-coded notes and all those things. But Lord, I would submit to you. I would surrender to you. Lord, unless you do something, will something be done. I can speak, but Lord, I can't reach the heart. But you can speak and reach every heart that's here this morning. Help us, Lord. I think it's an important truth. I think it's a necessary truth. I think, Lord, unless you drive the truth home, it won't be driven home. So I pray that you'd help us. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. One of the most repeated themes in 1 Peter is this theme of suffering. If you were to study probably any book on 1 Peter, it would highlight how often it's talking about suffering in this book and even in the 2 Peter. Now, the reality of suffering, now think about this statement, the reality of suffering is a crucial reason for the necessity of strength. I'll say it again. The reality of suffering is a crucial reason for the necessity of strength. This idea of growing stronger. What's the reason that we need strength? Because we suffer. Now there's two things that we're going to look at just to start with. That's not the main application, but two quick things to think about, two important things about suffering. First thing is this. I want you to go back with me to chapter 2 and look at verse 19. And notice what it says. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Then notice he changes a little bit in verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? What he's saying is this: there is the suffering because you're doing right in suffering, and there's suffering for those who are doing wrong. Now think what he just said. There's suffering for those who are doing right. There is suffering for those who are doing wrong. What he's saying is this: we all suffer. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, we all suffer. So the first thing we understand is this: suffering is universal. There's a lot of things that differentiate us this morning. Some are taller, some are shorter. Some are thin, some are well holstered. Some are not so thin. Okay? We have different facial characteristics. Some have bigger ears, some have smaller ears, some have earlobes that hang down, some have earlobes you barely see. Some have pointed nose, some have flat nose. Some have pointed chin, some have kind of recessed chin. There's a lot of different we come from different areas. Some are from Grafton, some are from Columbia Station, some are from Elyria, some are from Lorraine, some are from Amherst, some are from North Ridgeville, some are from Avon. There's all kinds of different things about all of us. We've come from different families, we have different testimonies, how we got saved. Now, we're all saved by grace, but how the Lord reached us. There's all kinds of different things that are part of our life. But we all suffer. No matter what, we all suffer. Suffering is universal. Now, the reason there's suffering, primarily, and really the main reason, is because of sin. People say, why? Why did God let suffering come into this world? Go back with me 6,000 years. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you go through Genesis 1, here's what you find. And God said, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. At the end of 6 days of creation, God looked on His creation and pronounced everything good. There was no suffering. Now you're thinking, well, wait a minute, if there was no suffering when God created the world, how did suffering get here? Let me tell you, the same reason there's suffering today. Man thinks he knows more than God. God said don't, man said maybe, woman said yes, and everything blew up. Because sin came into the world, and suffering by sin. The Bible says this, and when sin is finished, when it is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. That's the end of sin, is death. Can I tell you what the process is? Suffering. How do we go from the action to the consequence of death? We go through a period of suffering. And so there's suffering in this world because of sin. And so because of Adam and because of Eve and because of their rebellion towards the Lord, suffering came into this world. So we all have suffering because... Now, sometimes we have added suffering because of our sin. Sometimes we have added suffering because of someone else's sin. And sometimes you can do everything right. Not that you're perfect, but you can try to do everything right and there's still suffering. Because we live in a world that is a sinful world. You know there's people that get lung disease, lung cancer, and never smoke one time? You know why? Because we live in a sinful world. It has all kinds of the curse of sin upon it. And so there's suffering. Suffering is a universal thing. It's a part of all of our lives. Maybe not to the same degree, maybe not for the same reason, but we all have suffering in our life. There's a second thing about suffering I want you to notice before we get into the main application. Go back with me again. 1 Peter chapter 4. Go a little bit forward into 1 Peter. And I want you to notice a second thing about suffering. Chapter 4, look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, when he talks about the word strange, it implies like an unexpected guest. That's the idea. Something that you weren't expecting, something that just, it came, because it has the idea of hosting or being a host, and an unexpected guest shows up. That's kind of what is being implied there. So not only is suffering universal, but here's the second important truth. Suffering often comes unexpected. Now Jesus uses this analogy about, if the goodman knew what time the robbers show up, the goodman would be ready. In other words, let's say I'm going to rob Bill's house. So I say, hey Bill, 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to be backing up with my truck. I'm going to be cleaning your house out. Just so I don't want to wake you up, okay? Bill's like, don't have to wake me up. I will be awake. I'll be the guy in my garage with the shotgun waiting for you. Now, isn't that how it would be? If someone told you, I'm going to rob your house at such and such time, you'd be waiting for them, would you not? At least with the police or something. Now, the robber shows up when you're not expecting it. And that's the benefit of the surprise. They're trying to catch you unguarded. Now, the same idea is here. That sometimes this suffering comes, now watch this, with no advance warning. You didn't do it. Maybe you weren't expecting it, but all of a sudden something happens that brings suffering into your life. It's like you read these stories. Here's a person. They get up in the morning. You know, they shake, brush their teeth, bloop, gargle, and they get dressed, and then they get in their car, and somewhere in there they eat a piece of toast or something, drink some juice. They get in their car, they're going down the car, they're thinking about their day, not really thinking much, and all of a sudden, boom, they get sideswiped by someone. I didn't do anything. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And unexpectedly, now, a car hits my car, I got a broken leg, I got stitches in my head. That's how life happens. Suffering comes unexpected. It surprises us at times. Now, watch this. Let's turn it just a little bit. If I'm a believer, I am a believer. As a believer, as a born-again believer in Christ, if I'm playing games with God, I should expect suffering to come in my life. And often in unexpected ways. Let me tell you one of the biggest mistakes we make in our sin. Here's what we do. We say, I'm going to do X. I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to do X because I think I can get away with it. I've thought about all the consequences to my sin, and I've braced myself or prepared myself. I'm going to get away with my sin. That's how we think about it. I know they're not going to find out. I know they're not going to find out. I figured out the lie. I'm going to get away with my sin. Can I tell you, God has unexpected ways to bring suffering in your life. God is very creative. God has ways that you don't even know about to get your attention. And so, let me just say this. Born again believer playing games, add to that the fact of unexpected suffering, and the consequence can be spiritual calamity. And so there's unexpected suffering that comes in our life. Sometimes not our fault. Sometimes it is our fault, but suffering is universal. Suffering often comes unexpected. Now, we're still trying to lay an introduction before I give you the main application here. Here is why we need spiritual strength. Here's why we need to be growing. Because you sit there and say, Pastor White, why? Why should I even bother reading my Bible, coming to church, praying? I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, that's a lot you're asking out of me. You're asking me to read my Bible. You're asking me to pray. You're asking me to be faithful in church. That's a lot. Why should I even be worried about growing in my Christian life? Because suffering is going to come in your life in ways you can't even imagine. And if you're not ready for it, it could really mess you up. And you're going to say, well, why can't I handle this? Because you didn't spend time growing when the Lord is trying to grow you. I think about Nancy Brenneman. Nancy, when they first showed up, it was like right before Mother's Day. Her and her, Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Mother's Day. That's the first time you came to visit our church. It was before Mother's Day, right? Yes, it was right before Mother's Day. And so, her and her husband, Park, their son Scott, and it was that week, I believe, if I get the dates wrong, I apologize. But I think it was like that right after that first Sunday, or first couple Sundays, then your husband passed on Mother's Day. That's right, on that very Sunday. They came for that. They were here for Mother's Day. That's right. I apologize for not getting exactly right. And so they were here for Mother's Day for church, and then afternoon, her husband passed. But here's what she'll tell you. The Lord was already working in her life before that. Before that, she went through a period of time when she was in a hospital, flat on her back, and the Lord was working in her life, growing her. How do you handle this situation, Nancy Brenneman? Let me tell you why. Because before that, God was growing her. Here's our problem. We complain about the situation because we don't let God do this. Grow us. And strengthen us. And then when the unexpected suffering comes, we're not ready for it. And so the reason for strength is because why? We all suffer, and it comes in unexpected ways. So we need to be growing, drawing closer to the Lord on a regular basis. Now, how can we apply this then to our life? Let me give you three thoughts about that. Here's number one. Growing stronger allows us first now to avoid needless suffering. Go back with me again to chapter 2 and look in verse 20. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? In other words, you did the wrong, and the consequence of the wrong was the suffering. Well, there's no glory in that. Why? Because you planted corn and you grew corn and now you have a harvest of corn, so what are you complaining about? So the idea is, why am I growing stronger? Because I want to avoid that type of suffering. I want to avoid the suffering because of my fault. I don't want to suffer because of me. So I'm growing in my Christian life. I'm growing to what the Lord wants me to be because I'm trying to push away the reasons for the needless suffering. The worst thing about suffering. Let me just back up. There's different reasons, again, why we suffer. Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's others, sometimes it's just a consequence of living in a cursed world. So there's different reasons. But if we look at this reason about being us, okay, it's my fault. I did it, and now I'm suffering because of it, okay? The worst thing about suffering is when it's all due, or at least mostly due, or in a large part, due to our own bad choices in life. I think that's probably the worst part about it. When we're looking and saying, look at what's going on in my life, and the only one I have to blame is the guy I'm looking at in the mirror. I have no one else to blame. Look what I did. I made choices, and now, as they say, all the chickens are coming home to roost. Look at what's happening in my life now because of decisions I made. The reason I want to grow is because I want to quit doing this right here. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to be clear to you. There are people who come to churches like this who will come for years. They'll sit under the preaching. They'll hear, don't do this, or start doing this, or make this change in your life. And they sit there like this. Hey, I'm going to live the way I want. Free country, I'll do what I want. And then all of a sudden, boom. And then they cry, and again, I'm not being unkind, this is reality. They cry, they weep, and they get mad at God. And you want to say, who can you blame but yourself? You were told not to do that, but you did it. You're told that this is how believers live, but you wouldn't live that way. And now this is a consequence. It's needless suffering because you did not grow and go forward in your Christian life. When our sin is the reason for the financial catastrophe, when our sin is the reason for the broken marriage, when our sin is the reason for the failing health, needless suffering that did not have to be because I refused to grow forward in my Christian life, to grow stronger in Christ. Let me just say this so I'm clear on it. The only thing that comes from drinking, drugs, lying, stealing, cheating, whatever sin you want to name, the only thing that comes from that is a life of suffering and pain because of that sin. The world says this. Now, it's not because of pressure. They've had to change some of the advertising. But if you're about my age, you know what I'm talking about. The world has the cowboy on the horse with a cigarette hanging out. Marlboro Man, look at me. But they don't show you the Marlboro Man has had his chin removed because of cancer and can't talk anymore because of cancer. You say, there's no good thing about sin. See, the world wants you to look at the hot Miller High Life. We're all in the bar. The lights are shining. Everyone's laughing. It's a good old time. Man, it's the best. That's what the world wants you to make you think. The world doesn't show you the drunk laying in his own puke or the wife with the battered wife or even sometimes a battered husband. It doesn't show you the broken up family. It doesn't show you the car wrapped around the telephone pole. It doesn't show you the destruction that type of sin brings. The only result of sin is going to be needless suffering. If you're a born-again child of God, why are you playing with sin? Nothing positive is going to come out of it. Well, Pastor White, you don't know how smart I am. Okay, I don't. Let me tell you, but I know what the Bible says. And you're not going to get ahead. You can't play with sin and get ahead. So there's needless suffering. So we need to grow. We need to make changes. Why? Because the reason is we're trying to get out of the needless suffering that comes. Now, if you sow, let me say it slowly, I want you to get this statement. If you sow seeds of sin in your life, don't be surprised when you reap a harvest of suffering. Galatians 6 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, now watch, that shall I also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption, suffering. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, for us who are trying to live right, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes you're living right and saying, boy, I'm suffering like everyone else. But there is a benefit. There is a harvest time coming, and we can trust the Lord that we will reap beneficially if we faint not. Now, let me be clear on this. Sin is not the only reason for our suffering. If someone is suffering, we're not, okay, if this morning you're going through some suffering, I'm not saying, you know why you're suffering? You're suffering because sin is in your life. I'm not saying that. Sometimes you're suffering because of other reasons besides that. So I'm not saying sin is the only reason. Don't misunderstand me. I want to be clear about this. So sin is not the only reason for suffering. But, now listen, it is the dumbest reason for suffering. Because it didn't have to be. It did not have to be. So if you're sitting here this morning, and I trust that you are sitting here this morning because you're here, and I don't see you standing. So as we sit here this morning, we need to go forward and grow and become stronger. Why? So we can get away from the sin that causes suffering. Let me just put it this way. Okay, we'll use this. And I'm not trying to be flippant. I know this is a big problem, and I'm not just trying to be trite about it, okay? But watch this. You know why you shouldn't be doing drugs? You know what? Let me tell you why you should avoid heroin. Let me tell you. Because Pastor White doesn't want you to have that buzz. No. You know why? Because heroin brings what? Death. It does. And not just to unbelievers. If you think as a believer you can do drugs now because I'm a believer, God will protect me, you're stupid. Don't play around with sin. It brings needless suffering. So go forward. Grow in your Christian life. Become what Christ wants you to be. It will avoid needless suffering that would come in your life because of sin. Second big application. So number one, we grow stronger. Allows us to avoid needless suffering. But number two, notice this. We grow stronger, enabling us to endure rightful suffering. Go with me to chapter 3 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, look with me in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in any other men's matters. Yet, now watch this, if any man suffer as a Christian, still suffering, but this is what we call a rightful, not that we're happy about it, not that we want to do it, but it's suffering for the right reason. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. What's behalf? That you're suffering as a Christian. Look at verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The idea is this, that if we suffer, we should be willing to suffer as a believer. Suffer because we're trying to live for Christ. Suffer because we're trying to do right. Now I want you to go with me to another place before I build upon this. I want you to go with me to chapter 4. Still 1 Peter. Look with me in verse number 3. Let me just use this to apply it when I get ready to make the application. Chapter 4, 1 Peter. Look with me in verse number 3. Notice what it says. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein, look at verse 4 now, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now what he's saying is this. Before you were saved, you were out with the... Okay, let me slow down. When we talk about living in sin, we're not being hateful towards people. I grew up among drunks. That's my testimony. I don't hate drunks. I know what drunkenness does to a life. Well, what do you think about drunks? I think that everyone needs to hear about Jesus and get saved. What do you think about those people doing heroin? I think they need to get saved. What do you think about those women walking out in the streets of Cleveland selling their bodies? I think they need to get saved. Jesus died for them. Jesus loved them just as much as He loves you. So we're not looking down our nose at these people. What we're saying is this. That's not the life that's going to bring blessing. It's going to bring suffering. Now He's saying before you were saved, you were just like that. We all were this way. We were sinners. We're still sinners. And now we're saved sinners. But we're walking in our sin, living like sinners. And when we were living with them in their sin, everyone liked it. Kind of like, if you know, the old show Cheers. When was it Norm that walked in? Everyone said, Norm! Okay, that's how it is. Everyone loves you. Why? You're part of the crowd. You're doing what they're doing. But now you're saved. You're not doing that. And they look down on you like you're weird. Because you're not at the bar. You're not doing the drugs. You're not cussing. You're not telling the dirty jokes. And now all of a sudden you're the weird one because you're trying to live right. And you even sometimes endure suffering, the criticism, the reproach, the mocking, the made fun of. That's what he's saying. Now they don't understand this. Let me try to see if I can apply it this way. In the world, even as a believer, in the world, okay, you're around your friends. Let's say you're around some unsaved people. And you're bowling, you bowl, and you throw a strike. And everyone's high five, look, I got a strike, yay, everyone's high-fiving you. Okay. Or maybe you're sitting somewhere and you're watching the Browns. And the Browns, this is, now watch this. The Browns score. I know, now this is new for Cleveland, but there's a line that we call a goal line. And if you take the ball and go across the goal line, they give you points. I know this is news. I mean, I don't think the Browns have ever learned that. You mean, I don't think they've ever learned that. And if you get the most points, you win. I mean, like, whoa, what's a win? It's something you don't know about. That's what it is. Now, we're sitting there, we're watching the Browns, and they score. And we go, okay, they score. High five, whoa, the Browns scored, yay! You know, everyone's excited. Ball strike, yay! Browns score! No, score, didn't say win. Browns score, yay! Now watch, go to the same crowd and say, hey, I just got saved, high five! They're like, what? Hey, I just went to church, man, it was exciting! What? That doesn't mean anything to them. They think you're weird. You can be in the middle of the winter, rip your shirt off, have a big C painted on it. Man, what a fan. You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you're weird. Kind of funny how the world is that way. And there'll be a rightful suffering, a mocking, a making fun of. And the Lord says, how do we endure that? How do you endure all of a sudden when your friends turn against you? How do you endure when they're laughing at you because you read your Bible, or they're mocking you because you're trying to do right? You won't laugh at their dirty jokes. You won't cuss when you're getting mad. You won't act like you used to act. And all of a sudden they mock you and they make fun. How do you deal with that? You grow stronger in your Christian life. You grow closer to the Lord. You start reading your Bible. You start praying. Why? Because I cannot deal. We are social creatures. Without the Lord's help, you'll give in to pressure. Say, not me. I'm a man's man. Yes, you. None of us are strong enough in ourselves. That's why we grow stronger in the Lord. So I can endure the rightful suffering. Suffering because I'm a believer. The mocking, the making fun of. Now, let me switch it just a little bit. Follow this thought here. We should not seek to suffer for Christ. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're not looking to, we're not saying, I hope I suffer for Christ. We're not seeking to suffer for Christ. What we should be seeking to do is glorify Christ. Because sometimes you glorify Christ and you won't suffer, and sometimes you will. So I'm not looking for the suffering, I'm looking to glorify Christ. Yet, knowing this, that if we glorify Christ on a regular basis now, we will, at times, suffer for Him. All because we're talking. Listen, if you want to find out, I told you the story before. I was sitting at a table, this is other preachers around me, college I came from is not everyone likes, and so I wasn't talking to anyone. All of a sudden, they asked me a question, and they asked what college I went to. I told them what college I went to, and the table cleared out, literally. So in a couple of minutes, they're all gone. Boink, they're all left. It's something I said, I guess. Now, you apply the same thing. You're sitting at the table at work, lunchtime. Everyone's at the table. Everyone's having a good time, talking about whatever the TV show was on last night. It doesn't have to be a bad conversation. It's just conversation. All of a sudden, you sit down, okay? No big deal. You all get your lunch out, no big deal, and then you bow your head and pray. You know what you might find out when you open your eyes? You're the only one at the table. Why? Because all you're doing is right. And there's a natural, people are like, oh, weird. Okay? Now, if that happens, okay, you're not trying to chase them away. All you're trying to do is glorify Christ. But you've got to be willing to suffer as you do that. Matthew 5 says this. I've got to go a little bit quicker. Matthew 5 says this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, watch this, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. John says this in John 15. If the world hates you, this is what Jesus said, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. I'm not done yet. Look at verse 20 and 21. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, me being Jesus, they will persecute you. That's the believer. Persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to sound, what's the word I want? Critical, but I'm not trying to sound talking down my nose to you. I'm not. It may sound this way. It may sound like I'm saying it in a negative way. I just want to, this is the reality, okay? What I just talked about trying to glorify Christ and then suffering because of it, this only makes sense to those who truly love the Savior. Some people would say, well, if I'm at work and if I prayed and it would chase everyone away, I just wouldn't pray. Boy, you know, if they wanted me to laugh at their dirty jokes, I'd just laugh at their dirty jokes and get along with them, you know. That's work, you know. If that job everyone's cussing, I'll just cuss because that's work. But that's not Christianity. That's not how someone who's in love with Jesus talks. If you're in love with the Lord, if you truly love Him, if that's your heart, you're saved, you're appreciative of what He's done for you, your heart goes out to Him. If that's you this morning, then well, here's what happens. When we stand before Him, we want in some way to show our gratitude. Think about this. You're standing before the Lord, and you realize He died for me. He gave His life for me. I want to somehow let Him know that I'm grateful. My words seem so empty, so useless. How can I show my gratitude? Well, maybe if we did something like this. Lord, I didn't die on the cross, but Lord, I bore Your cross. The whole time I was on earth, I was never ashamed of You. I tried to live to glorify You. And when the suffering came, I endured it. Because You were my grace and my help during those times. I think that honors the Lord. Now, how do you get to that point? By growing in Him. Say, Pastor White, when you were a teenager and you first got, you made that decision. I might have got saved when I was 8, but I know for sure I got saved when I was a senior in high school. So, when you got that assurance of your salvation, did it immediately kick in? No. Let me tell you probably the saddest part of my Christian life. I wasn't a great witness. I witnessed a couple of people in high school. I didn't witness too many. Why? I was scared. I didn't want them to look at me funny. I didn't want them to walk away from me. I didn't want like the parting of the Red Sea when I walked down the hallway and no one would talk. I had friends. Let me tell you this though. I should have had more courage. Now that is how I started in the Christian life. At 52 years of age, I'd hate to think I'm still that way. That I'm more concerned about what you think about me than what he thinks about me. So how do you get from that point to this point? You grow day by day. Walking closer to him. Studying the word of God. Opening your heart to him. Speaking to him. Asking for his help. Asking for his grace. Asking for his strength. That's why we grow stronger. Why it enables us to endure the rightful suffering. Let me give you the third thought. Number three is this, growing stronger prepares us to help others who suffer. Now, I don't want to spend too long on this because of the sake of time, but I do want to drive home the point by going to chapter 4, if you will, again. Look at verse 13. I think that's the place I want. Yep, that's it. Look what he tells them. This is the Apostle Peter. He tells them this in chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice. Now he's talking about people who are suffering. Suffering because of Jesus. Suffering for rightful reasons. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We kind of talked about that statement for the Lord. That's the idea there. He tells these believers here to rejoice in suffering for Christ. But notice the underlying reason behind that. Go to chapter 5, look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now watch this. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's what we can infer from that. I think this is what he's implying. He's telling these believers, you need to be willing to suffer even when you're doing right. Let me tell you, Peter says, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I had to learn to suffer by doing right. Maybe when Peter wrote that, maybe he thought about that time when they arrested Jesus and he said, Jesus, I don't know, no Jesus. Three times he denied him. But then later on, they arrested him. They said, you preach any more in the name of Jesus, we'll kill you. He said, I can't but speak the things I've seen and heard. He is willing to die to keep preaching about Jesus. He's saying, I learned to suffer rightfully. That's how I'm telling you, this is what you need to learn to do. I'm telling from my own experience. I went through this. I'm telling you now how that you need to go through this. The idea was this. As he grew stronger, it prepared him so he could help others who are going through the same thing so they could grow stronger. That was the idea. Peter was teaching them what he had already learned, that his growth then allowed him to help others to grow. Here's a verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about that. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. In other words, we grow, we get strong. Why? So we help others grow and become strong. That's the idea. In other words, don't come to church just to learn. Come to church to be equipped. To teach others. I'm going to slow down because this is, I think, the crux of this third application. Too many times we come so we, oh, that's good. Yeah, I want to know that. That's good too. Man, we come out of church. Boy, man, I really learned something. That's great, but that's not the main reason. You need to come to be equipped to go out and teach someone else. If all we are learners, then we're not true disciples. Because the purpose of discipleship is to learn it so you can give it out. And too many times, all we're doing is we're filling our pockets. We're like Christians with big pockets full of stuff. You know, we're walking around with big pockets full of stuff. I know so much. Why not take some of that and help someone else with it? Find someone else to help. Be a teacher, not just a learner. Here's what Paul told Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Kind of what we're talking about. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Those who are strong, okay, as you grow, now you can help others. Thou therefore endure hardness, this idea of suffering, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war entangles himself in the affairs of this life, but he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, let me see if I can apply it just more specifically. As I look out this morning, I say this with love and affection, but also with a pointedness to it. We as leaders, need you, as someone who's not doing what they should be doing, not growing or learning, but not teaching. We need you to get some things straight in your life. So you can be an example and teacher in this ministry. We need people to quit playing around saying, well, you know, I come to church, but I don't know. I'm still going to do all these other things because I haven't made my mind up. Make your mind up. Get serious. Get real. There's a world dying and going to hell. Over 7 billion people. And we got believers in America sitting in churches saying, I don't know. I still like my sin. And they're dying and going to hell because you're playing with your sin. Because we don't want to take what we've learned and use it. We want to learn, but we don't want to put it in practice. I'm telling you this morning, we need to decide it's not enough simply to get our heads big full of information. We need to get our hearts right and do something with what the Lord has for us. Get some things straight in our lives, and then go out and be an example and a teacher in this ministry. Now, that could be an organized ministry, like a Sunday school class, or simply be in your personal interaction. Let me just say this. As a member of Grace Baptist Church, as a born-again believer, because those two things both, okay, if you're a member, then you should be a born-again believer. If you're not, you may be a member, but you shouldn't be a member because you lied to us about being a born-again believer. But if you're a born-again believer and you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, then you need to be doing something with what you've heard here. Well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. No, but you're a believer and you interact your life with other people that you can witness to. You can point them to Jesus. You can help them. They're going through their suffering. They're going through their problems. They're looking at drugs. They're looking at booze. They're looking at the world. They're looking at Facebook. They're in search of an answer, and you have the answer. Tell them what Jesus did for you. Say, hey, here's what the Lord has done. Here's what the Lord has taught me. They may make fun of you. You're right, they may. They may watch this. They may unfriend you on Facebook. That's suffering for Jesus, I know. But put up with it. Tell them the truth. You don't have to be unkind. You don't have to be mean about it. Just tell them the truth. Stand up for Jesus. Let them know what the Lord has done for you. That's why we grow. Why? So we can be used to help others who are suffering. Now, the truth is, young believers should be able to look up to older believers who are doing it. The saddest thing is when someone comes to church, they get saved, been in church maybe just a few months, and they're looking over to you, who's been saved for years, and you are on the same level they are. You don't go soul winning. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You're hit and miss in your church attendance. They should be able to look at you and say, that is a good signpost pointing me to the direction I need to go. Look at their faithfulness. I can be faithful. Look at what they're doing. I can do some of those things. And the older believers should be looking out for younger believers, guiding them, directing them, encouraging, helping them in their Christian life. Let's come full circle. We all suffer. None of us are exempt from it. But if you would let the Lord grow you, even in the midst of your suffering, you could find God could use you in miraculous ways. An old English preacher said this, is probably back, 1800s, something like that. He made this statement. It's been often quoted. It's one of those statements you hear a lot. It goes like this. Preach to the suffering, and you will never lack a congregation. So, well, who can I talk to? Look around. We're all suffering. Tell them what Jesus did for you. You might be surprised how they may respond. Grow in your Christian life. Let God help you through your suffering. Then seek out those who are suffering and let them know what God did for you. Now, I say this morning, I believe this. I believe that you want to be stronger. I know I've been a little pointed about some things, but I believe you want to be stronger. I think that's why you're here. I don't think you got up this morning and said, you know what, I just hate God, I hate church, I hate everything, but I think I'll show up anyways. That's probably not your attitude. I think you're here this morning because there is some desire in your heart for the Lord. Some more, some less, but I think there's that desire. Why would you come to church? Okay, let's see. You come to church because you love God, or have this desire towards God, or want to grow, or there's some spark there, or you came to church because you're hoping that Pastor White would sing a special. My guess, it's this one over here. That's my guess, okay? There's some desire in your heart to grow, or to something, that's why you're here this morning. You want to be stronger, that's why you're here. Now, I know this. That's what I believe, but here's what I know. I know that you have suffering. I'm not talking about just adults. There's teenagers who have suffering in their life. Teen suicide. What a terrible thing. Teen suicide. You have your whole life in front of you, but whatever you're going through at this moment is somehow so overwhelming that you would put out your life as a teenager. You have your whole life in front of you. Who knows the potential of your life? So why would they do that? There's some suffering somewhere going on. There's something happening. I know this. I know every person in this room has some level of suffering. It's a universal condition. So here's how I would close the message this morning. Three things I want to say to you. Number one, I want you to know that God, through His grace, can take your suffering and still grow your faith. Whatever you're going through will not stop God from growing you. Often I'll tell you, and I'm not bragging on my past, but I'll tell you how I grew up. I'll tell you about the bar. I'll tell you about Maidsville. I'll tell you about, not in any way of puffing myself up, but to tell you, God reached me in spite of those things. God saved me. God grew me in spite of those things. I don't know what you're going through this. I don't know what the suffering. I don't know what the heartache. But I'm telling you, they will not stop God from helping you, from growing you, if you just give it to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. God, through His grace, can take your suffering and still grow your faith. Here's a second thing. I want to warn you that there could be an unexpected suffering right around the corner that will destroy you unless you're growing. I've knocked on doors. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I was in church for years. What happened? Boom. They'll tell me. Some unexpected suffering. They weren't growing. They weren't ready for it. Knocked them off. Just knocked them off. Just threw them off the game. And they've never recovered. Because they refused to grow when they had opportunity. You need to be growing. Those unexpected sufferings come in all of our lives. And then thirdly, I guess here's the third thing I would finish with. I want to encourage you that your growth through your suffering could open doors of opportunity to bless your fellow believers and unbelievers who are also suffering. That's the reason that we need to grow.